I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com. Dylan, nothing says soccer like 35 degrees at night. It's obviously the best time to play an outdoor sport like soccer when everybody's running around in shorts, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ideal, honestly.
I don't know where you put the soccer season with everything else that goes on, but good Lord, I feel like
winter's probably not
the right one.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, I think, but I know some states, they'll have like boy season in, say, the fall, girls in the spring or something, or vice versa. Not a bad idea if you ask me. I know you got other sports. Like a lot of thing with soccer is, I mean, a lot of those soccer players don't play anything else.
Yeah.
Which means that if you move soccer to say the fall, well, then that might mean you'd have to move. I mean, you wouldn't have to, I don't guess, but you would think maybe you'd want to move something else to the winter, like volleyball, which would make sense as an indoor sport. But a lot of those girls play basketball.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's no
perfect answer, but luckily I was prepared last night, and I put a toboggan in the car, and I had some hot hands in the backpack ready to go. So
nice.
So I was ready last night, but I will say that last Friday I was underprepared, and my hands and ears and everything were freezing off. So I covered two soccer matches, you know, within a 4-day span or whatever. So I was ready the second go around. I was not on the first one. So.
Yeah, I was prepared last night by being in the press box. So that's what I did. Hey, welcome into the program. Brad and Dylan here with you for the next few minutes to talk high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Just a reminder that Prep Rally comes to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Also, find us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Yeah, we're going to talk a lot of soccer today because it's the playoffs. We're getting down to the state championships coming up on Saturday. So we're going to jump in. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Going to go ahead and jump into the soccer rewind. I actually covered, I've covered a couple of games lately. I covered, I guess it was last Thursday, Tupelo Christian girls. Lost a tough one to Madison St. Joseph. And then I covered Lafayette at Saltillo last night. But let's go to your game first from Tuesday. Ripley at Pontotoc Boys in the 4A state semifinals. And Ripley pulled it out 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
To advance to the state final for the first time.
Yeah, first time in program history. It's one of those things that, you know, they kind of made history last year. I covered their north half game last year.
Right.
They got up 2-0 early in the first half against Newton County, and they were sitting pretty. And then right around the 12 minutes left to go in the match, for whatever reason, Ripley just crumbled. Mm. And Newton County scored 3 goals within that last 12-minute period and came back 1-3-2. It was like one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And you know, so they lost their first ever North half appearance, and they lost it in that way. And Coach Joe Hunsucker there at Ripley, he's just in his second year. So year one takes them North half, year two, now they're playing for the state championship on Saturday. And he told me, he said, all offseason I've been preaching to him, hey, 12 minutes is what it cost you last year, 12 mm-hmm. minutes. And it was just probably the most ironic thing I've ever been a part of was last night. That was, 0-0 tie, and there's 12 minutes to go in the match with them and Pontotoc, and Ripley connects on a goal with 12 minutes left to go, and then scores again 3 minutes later and kind of put the game away. So it was really just one of those ironic, like, what comes around goes around types of deals. But yeah, Ripley and Pontotoc, both really good defensive clubs.
Right.
I think Coach Pollard there at Pontotoc, he even said that, like, early in the first half. He was like, man, goals are going to be really hard to come by, you know, with how good both of these defenses are. And so it was tough, and Ripley got even hamstrung, pardon the pun, even more in the first half because their leading striker, Juan Luna, went down with a hamstring injury, something he's been dealing with for a while.
Mm.
And so Ripley was kind of left without a lot of options on offense, and they got a free kick opportunity there in the 68th minute. And Yasiel Batista, a senior, He's a defender. Came all the way up from his defender spot to take that free kick. And he told me, he's like, I have not made one all year long. He said, I've shanked a bunch of them left and right and haven't been on target all year long with one. And I'm talking about, I couldn't have hit it any more perfect. Just snuck right inside the right post, real low, away from the goalkeeper there from Pontotoc. And they went at 1-0, and then Ripley got a corner kick there in the 71st minute, and Eduardo Munoz was inside the box and put it in the back of the net. So, I mean, it was just one of those. They were obviously very, very good defensively, and just kind of timely goals there down in the last minutes to pull away. And they'll be playing St. Stanislaus Saturday, 2 p.m., Madison Central.
Tough matchup.
Yeah, there's St. Stanislaus won 2-0 last night against Bay, but they scored 5 goals in the first and second round matches apiece. So they have a lot of offensive firepower, and Ripley's going into it with not knowing the prognosis of Luna and Munoz was even hurt when he even scored. So like they got a couple banged up guys. So you know, they're gonna have to go and probably play their best game of the year to go pull out and bring a gold ball back to Ripley. So,
and 5A girls, the match I was at, Lafayette at Saltillo, second straight year they've met in the state semifinals. Lafayette won last year 4-2 in overtime. This one, Saltillo jumped out early, scored like 5 minutes into the game. So they're 1-0. Lafayette can't really get anything going till about late, last 10 minutes or so of the first half. They had 3 really good scoring chances. I mean, they were that very, very close. In fact, Julia Perkins on one, I mean, it was a tough angle she took from the right side of the box, and she still almost snuck that thing in, hit the crossbar, and bounced off. But the second half, they kind of, I guess, got confident after that strong finish of the first half, and they started to be more aggressive and more successful on the attack, kind of got back off their heels after that early goal. And Julia Perkins, who I mentioned, tied the match up in the 53rd minute. Just fired a rocket from about 15 yards. Goalie had no chance on that one. And then 5 minutes later, they pull ahead 2-1 on a goal by Lily Grace McCutcheon. And so 5 minute span, boom, down to go from being down 1-0 to up 2-1. And then Lafayette from there just really did a good job defensively as well. I mean, Saltillo only had one really good shot on goal the second half, and that was like within the first couple of minutes of the half. And after that, they had almost no good chances to speak of. And then the third goal that Lafayette added, that was in the 74th minute. Hudson Lindsay kind of iced things there late. And Lafayette, this is the two-time defending state champ in 5A. Regular season, they split with Saltillo. You know, these are division opponents, and all the tiebreakers, they had to go all the way down to the coin flip, and Saltillo won the division on a coin flip, so they got that number one seed for the playoffs. But and they got Lafayette at home. I mean, everything went about as well as you could hope, and then they got off to that early lead. That kind of did, Coach Melinda Scruggs said that kind of shocked them, because Lafayette, she said, they haven't been scored on early like that very often this year. And but they eventually recovered, and you know, they've got so many weapons on that team. I mean, the three I mentioned, plus players like Avery Treloar and Lucy Wilson. And so you kind of had a feeling that offense would get going at some point, and it did. So Lafayette's girls will move on to the to a third straight state title match, and they will play East Central. And I had the schedule in front of me, and now I've lost it. Oh, here it is. Yeah, they're going to play. Again, they're going to take on East Central in the 5A match. That'll be at 4 o'clock at Madison Central on Saturday. So we've also got, we also had, Morville playing last night, Morville's girls. They lost to West Lauderdale, the juggernaut, 6-0. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, they've won like 4 of the last 5 state titles there in Class 4A. So they're tough to deal with. And then tonight we've got Amory's boys in Class 1 hosting St. Andrews, Wednesday night game. And so, I mean, that game might be over by the time you actually hear this, but as we speak right now, it's still a few hours away. And if Amory can win that match, they would take on Clarkdale at 2 o'clock at Clinton High School on Saturday. So that's the only thing that's not set as far as the state championships. And now we move on to basketball.
Yeah.
A couple of games that you were at. we're going to talk about. New Albany's boys and girls, back on Monday, both knocked off Ripley teams that were ranked coming into those games. I just put Ripley's girls back in the rankings, and they go and lose. Yeah. Come on. but, I mean, New Albany's boys and girls, those are teams I've seen this year that I'm like, you know, those teams look like they have – I mean, they have a lot of potential. You know, I saw New Albany's boys beat Corinth a few weeks ago. Like, when they've got some athletes and some players, and if they put things together, you know, they can be dangerous against a lot of opponents in 4A. Same goes for the girls. And obviously, they kind of put things together against Ripley.
Right. And you mentioned it there. We talked about them a few weeks ago with that win. They won 60-55 over Corinth. Mm-hmm. And kind of grabbed our attention. You was there, and you mentioned it even in the story and on the podcast. We talked about them hitting jump shots.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Michael Smith hitting jump shots and stuff. And like, I think what has to be kind of refreshing for them is they beat Ripley not hitting anything. they shot 36% from the field. Was 0-9 from three. Just kind of a really ugly game offensively for both teams. Ripley was held to just 31% from the field, so like they were 1-for-9 from 3. So it was just ugly all the way around on offense. But you know, they kind of, New Albany stuck in it, and the biggest deal was their points in on fast break points and transition. They were getting rebounds off Ripley missed shots. Ripley was taking some threes, taking some mid range jumpers, you know, clanking them off the rim. And here New Albany is, frankly, and it was more AI Nugent getting those rebounds and just running up the floor and scoring easy layups. And Ripley was up one early in the fourth, and then New Albany went on a 10-0 run, and including 8 straight points from Nugent, and all like I think 4 of it was off free throws, and then 2 layups off of transition, off of missed shots from Ripley. So,
right,
you know, they just kind of took advantage of a poor shooting performance from Ripley, and New Albany did a good job defensively too, particularly Trey Berry. He had 6 blocks in that game.
He's a big kid. And, he's a good defensive presence.
Yeah, he had 6 blocks and sat on the bench a lot with foul trouble. So,
right,
you know, he really was just a presence down there. You know, Ripley doesn't really have anything to match up with him down low. And, you know, so, and, you know, between Tay High, he's another big kid, big size, Michael Smith's another long kid. And so it was a tough matchup for Ripley, who was coming off of quarantine.
Right.
You could tell. I mean, they scored 7 points in the first quarter, you know, and it was just one of those things that, you know, they looked like a team that was a step slow, step late on defensive rotations and things like that. So, you know, I fully expect when division tournament comes around next week that Ripley will be a little bit in better shape and a little more clicking on offense and stuff. But, you know, Ripley turned around and got drummed pretty good by Corinth last night. And
right.
I think that sets up Ripley was going – I think Ripley will be the 2 or 3-1 going into the division tournament,
right,
and they catch New Albany.
That'll be fun.
They'll catch New Albany and then have to play Corinth right after that.
Wow.
So it's a tough road in that division. It's a good division. And like you said, and I'll just quickly on the girls.
That boys' final was 47-38, by the way.
47-38, yeah.
The girls was a similar defensive struggle, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't pretty offensively either. But Ashanti High, mentioned her brother Tay a while ago. Ashanti was just – she was really good, 26 points, and she was basically the bulk of the offense. They won 49-40 over Ripley. Ripley struggled. They couldn't shoot. New Albany went in zone, and, man, they mixed up defenses, and it didn't matter. Ripley just couldn't shoot them out of it. But freshman from Ripley, Lorian Story, she's getting back and kind of getting in shape. She had 22. If you want to see kind of a bright light for Ripley girls, it's maybe, hey, like, you know, freshman starting to come on. She had – I think 18 or something against in the upset win over North Pontotoc, and then turn around with a 22-point performance against New Albany. So
right. She's
starting to come along, and that helps them if they got a post presence like they did last year. But they've got to learn how to hit shots outside, or it's going to be rough.
Yeah, and then back on Saturday they had the Robertson Sportswear Lady Challenge. Had 6 games at Walnut, 6 games at New Site. You're at New Site. That's where the bulk of the really good games were. Really good teams, and you know, a lot of good games there that you saw. Of course, Choctaw Central. Got a win over New Site.
They looked impressive.
We had that girl from Loretto, Tennessee. I forget her name.
Carly Weathers
that showed out. And then Belmont and Tupelo. And Belmont was still ranked number one at the time, but Tupelo pulled out a 1-point win.
Yeah,
that's a nice win for Tupelo.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Coach Matt Justice after the game was pretty happy, as you can imagine, beating a number one ranked team and a team like Belmont who had came into that game with only like 1 loss all year long. And so, you know, that was a big win because Tupelo, like we've talked about before, is very young. It's not a lot of not a lot of seniors, not a lot of juniors, just sophomores and down eighth graders on the 6'8" on the largest school in the state. So it's a different deal there. But yeah, for them to come out with that win was just absolutely big, and kind of came down to the last 10 seconds. Close game all the way through. And Shanika Jackson, she was really big defensively on that line. I think she only had 5 points, but she had 4 steals in the game. And one of them coming right there in the last seconds, she stole the ball away and passed it down to Michaela Riley, who had just missed like an easy bunny. And Belmont got the rebound, and it looked like, you know, they were going to clinch the game and kind of seal it. And Jackson stole the ball, found Riley again. She scored and went up, and that was that. But it was kind of one of those things that defensively Tupelo was really set the tone. Yeah. Very physical, very aggressive, and they did a good job on Macy Walker. I think Walker finished with like 16. I believe. Yeah, she finished with 16, shot 50% from the field, but like it was a tough night.
She didn't go off.
Yeah. She, like, holding her to 16, that gives you a chance. Right. And, you know, they were able to force her into some turnovers and some different things like that. So, you know, it was one of those things where more than offensively, more than a game winning shot like that, it was the defense, I think, that won it for them through the 4 quarters.
Yeah, you know, Belmont, they had lost to Kossuth a few days before that. Mm-hmm. And I actually got to see Kossuth on, I guess it was Friday. They traveled to Amory. And that's a team that, you know, the way they're playing right now, they could make a run. I mean, they let Amory back in that game in the third quarter, but then they closed it out. But, you know, Zoe Esri is the one you talk about.
Yeah, I'll take my chances with her on my team.
But Caitlin Bumpus, man.
Yeah, she's both of them.
She had a huge game. She had, I think she had 17 points in the second quarter. She just was lights out from outside. I mean, within the girl, as Zatava Smith for Amory, scored like 19 in the third quarter herself to get them back in the game. So it was a weird game. But but definitely, you know, that's a team that's pretty good defensively, you know, and with the players they have, I look for them to, you know, they could make some serious noise in the 3A playoffs here. Okay, let's look ahead to what's happening the rest of this week. This is the final week of the regular season in basketball. We've got a few good games. So I've got some division races that have not quite been decided, won't be till Thursday or Friday, and we have others that are wrapped up, but still, you know, so you've got a lot of, like, non-division games, but they're good matchups, like Calhoun City and Houston Girls. That's on Thursday. Originally was scheduled for Friday. It's on Thursday. That'd be a good one. Tupelo Corinth Boys will be on Friday. That will be a fun game, yeah. I think. Tupelo's playing really well right now. Corinth, obviously, is hitting its stride toward the end of the season. So I may end up being at both of those games this week. That's some good-looking basketball to wrap up the regular season. Division tournaments start next week. I've already got some tournament brackets in hand. Again, waiting for some of these division races to get solidified with games Thursday and Friday. And we'll have all that stuff online as soon as we have all these division tournament schedules in hand. COVID update time. Walnut Boys have gone into quarantine, so they're out this week. Faulkner Girls are still in quarantine as well. Yes.
Yeah, they went in. Faulkner Boys came out, and then the girls went in. So as soon as the boys came out. So that was unfortunate, but they both should be back before division tournament week. So
Well, good. Let's do this week's shout-out. It goes to Tremont basketball coach Brady Ramey. He coaches the boys and the girls. He picked up his 500th career win last Friday when the boys beat Tupelo Christian 49-42. I'll have a little something on Brady in Thursday's prep notebook. Of course, he was the Itawamba AHS coach for a long time. Then he got into administration for a few years. He missed coaching, so he's now in his fifth year as boys coach at Tremont. I think it's his second as girls coach. Well, yeah, because Anna Porter, she left for Itawamba and to be head coach there, and this is her second year there. So, yeah. So, anyway, Brady, one of the best coaches in the business, no doubt. Let's wrap it up with the Athletes of the Week. We do this every week on our male and female athlete for their accomplishments. Female Athlete of the Week is Hannah Campbell, senior from Newsite. We've had her as Athlete of the Week a few times, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, you know, when you're good, you're good. She had 24 points, including 3 made three-pointers in a 67-56 win against Walnut on Thursday. And then Saturday in that Robertson's Challenge, She had 28 points and made 3 three-pointers in a 70-63 loss to Choctaw Central, which is a favorite in 4A. I mean, that's a really good team. And you saw that game.
And Choctaw shot the lights out, too.
Like, yeah, as they are wont to do.
Yeah, exactly. And she came alive in that fourth quarter, just kind of got them back in the game because they were down 20 at one point, and she started getting going and cut the game to 7 right there before the buzzer. So they kind of got back in it with her. She can go.
She can. Male Athlete of the Week, Charvez Ambrose. Hope I said that right. Sophomore for Holly Springs. He's had a couple of good games this past week. He had 17 points, 3 rebounds, 3 steals, and a 63-50 win over Senatobia on Friday. Then he had 32 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 steals, and a 76-62 win against Water Valley on Tuesday. So congrats to Hannah and Charvez, and that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on there as well, at Brad Locke, and Dylan's on there at Dylan Barnes DJ. That's all for now. We will see y'all next week.